like we're not just fishing all of the time. Like we're a full range of human, and we are not formal. We're not serious. We're super friendly. We're goofy. We're gonna make mistakes. We're gonna drink a bunch of beers while we fish. Like it's going to be messy, but it feels more personal and more, relatable than.
The Life in Motion podcast is brought to you by Actual Outdoors. They help build beautiful brands that highlight the approachable and authentic parts of outdoor recreation. Said simply, they keep it real. Learn more at actualoutdoors.com.
This is a Life in Motion audio experience, a podcast about travel, action sports, culture, and more.
What's up, and welcome to episode 185 of Life in Motion. I've got Allie with me from Ladies and Waities, a community all about last-minute fishing trips, 9 a.m. beers, and the adventures that come with them both. I'm excited to hear her story and how they're building an outdoor community. Allie, thanks for being on the show today.
Jeremy, thanks for having me. Stoked to be here.
Yes. I'm excited to have you on and excited to learn about everything you have going on over there. It sounds like some fun things. But before we do that, let's kind of start with, who you are, where you're from, where you grew up, kind of what led you, in the outdoors in the first place.
Sure. So candidly, I listened to my friend Erica Nelson's episode last night while I was doing, a little bit of my homework. And after hearing her backstory and all the places that she's been and what got her outdoors, I couldn't help but think how wildly different our journeys are. Hers is it tends to be more exciting than mine, but interesting that it got us to very similar places. So with that caveat, I grew up in North Jersey, which was, for all intents and purposes, like outdoor adjacent. You still got like a little bit of like a suburb feel. It wasn't that close to New York, but also like my backyards were essentially woods. So a lot of my childhood, I was just constantly outdoors, like messing around. I had like a little turtle sandbox that I used to steal my dad's tools and put them in there so I could build forts or just like explore with my buddies, just constantly up to something outside. I had two friends that I just, we grew up fishing. I grew up, I learned to fish from my uncle, but it was mainly gear fishing on lakes for bass. And I had no idea what we were doing, right? We were just throwing worms, or I remember just being in my kitchen. We would make this paste with like flour and Parmesan cheese and just like throw it on the end of a hook. And to me, that was fishing growing up. So, while most kids were inside playing games, playing video games, TV, what have you, like I was constantly a little bit dirty and always in the woods with my friends. So it was a fun childhood, like I look back now, and of course I don't ever see myself living in New Jersey, but I do truly think it was really important to grow up there to just kind of cultivate that love of the outdoors. Like even through high school, I don't know what happened to my fishing rod, but I just didn't have that spinner anymore. So we would fish with just like really long sticks, attach a little line to the end and a hook, and just put hot dogs on there. And I spent most of high school just fishing for bluegills like that. Had a blast. Not conventional, but like that was fishing for me, right? It didn't matter how I was doing it, what gear I was using. It was fun to just be out there messing around with my buddies.
That's awesome. So
it was eventful. Go ahead.
I was say so kind of keeping it kind of in the childhood a little bit. Definitely interesting as far as I guess the environment, if you will, around, you're not necessarily in the middle of nowhere, but you're not, smack dab in the city, as you mentioned. Had the woods and stuff to explore, and then obviously kind of took on to fishing, and then obviously upgraded your reel and bait situation with the hot dogs, which is awesome. But what I guess when you were a kid, do you remember what was it about like the outdoors and like ultimately fishing and everything that kind of that you felt like kind of kept and staying dirty and everything that kind of kept your attention as a kid rather than you know, doing whatever else that was available around the area, you know, whether that, you know, sports or, you know, anything else like that.
So I was heavily involved in sports as a kid.
Oh.
I think I had a lot of energy. So it was channeled into, you know, onto the soccer field and then into the outdoors. And I mean, even now, I think I'm an incredibly social person. So for me, whatever type of experiences I could have that surrounded me by my friends or my family or just other people that were as excited as I was about something, like that's what I was constantly chasing. So to be outdoors, to be exploring with my friends, to be curious, I think that's just what really drew me out there. I just love spending time with my buddies, and it was always an adventure. Like, we never knew what we were going to find. We never knew what we were going to happen upon. We would like dig in the middle of the woods and find bones or find like trash. But as kids, you're like, oh, this is treasure and this is super exciting. And when I was really little, my mom was like, oh, why don't you go dig in the backyard? There's these little people called munchkins and they live out there. So I think even like as a child, I was like, oh, there's a whole world to uncover. I need to find all the people that are living under the ground. Like, this is where I need to be. This is where the action's at. Everyone's missing out on the munchkins.
That's awesome. So funny side note there. I don't know what grade, I don't know how young I was, but my parents or parents' friend did not tell me to go find the munchkins. However, me and my best friend would always play in his woods. And I remember making up, they're called like pygmy people or something, but they're essentially like, there was this really like mossy area in the woods. And like, I would build like little like huts and houses for them. And like, I have no clue where it came from, but that just reminded me of that. So I get you there.
You know, after I just told the munchkin story, there was a little part of me that was like, I wish I had not just said that. So thank you for drawing that connection for me.
You're welcome. I got you. Don't worry. So, so no, that's cool. Very, very outgoing and, that adventurous spirit, obviously. So, you know, you kind of touched on sort of in high school, kind of as that continued, what was the next kind of, I guess after that time?
So after high school, I went to a small Division III school out in Pennsylvania, and I leaned in heavily to soccer. I, for whatever reason, convinced myself that that was going to be my career path. I was going to go from a small Pennsylvania school to a big professional soccer player. So I really leaned in there. I mean, whatever time I wasn't in class, I was training, I was working out, I was researching, I was watching games. So unfortunately, my 4 years in college were heavily spent focused in that arena. So the outdoors kind of took a back seat for me. You know, I didn't have a lot of friends in college that shared those interests. So it was tough for me to find people that wanted to go hiking or wanted to fish. Most of my friends were scattered across the country. So, you know, I'd go home for summer and I didn't have those folks there either. And again, like for me, being outside, being involved in those activities, it's always been sharing that passion with my friends or sharing that passion with another person. And I found that it didn't draw me back as much if it was just, you know, me out there enjoying it by myself. So 4 years I spent focused on soccer, and it wasn't until my senior year where I had this epiphany that finally I'm like, I'm not going to be a professional athlete. Maybe we should refocus a little bit. So I went down to West Virginia most summers of college to just do some rafting, do some climbing, a little bit of fishing. And that's when I decided, oh, I'm going to go to West Virginia and I'm going to be a whitewater raft guide. That will be my future. I pitched that plan to my parents after graduation. They were both like, absolutely not. You will not be doing that. So the next logical pivot from I want to be a raft guide was to maybe accounting will work for me. So that's the path we traveled down. I kept going to West Virginia, did not get to be a raft guide, unfortunately, but I moved from a tiny town in Pennsylvania down to Philadelphia and pursued accounting down there. And I don't know if you've ever been to Philadelphia, but it is it's not a very outdoors minded city. I know now that there's more access to fishing waters and communities down there, but my experience was, you know, I got back into backpacking. Luckily, I had some buddies down there that I met through work that were still interested in getting outside and exploring a little bit. But our trips would be, you know, a 6-hour drive on a Friday night up to the Adirondacks or up to the Catskills in New York. Then you hike around for maybe 24 hours, and then it's like a 6-hour drive back. So it was tough to get outside to areas that I felt, you know, where the juice was worth the squeeze. And I was working for a consulting firm at the time and probably working on average about 60 to 65 hours a week the entire year. So it was difficult to carve time out for the activities that I loved. So Philly was, it was 10 years of just a lot of tough work, trying to get outdoors and just really struggling to do so, or struggling to find folks that wanted to. And then when COVID hit in 2020, I was living with my best friend at the time, who had just moved back from Portland, where she had spent a bunch of time outside, a bunch of time learning how to fly fish. And just, I was incredibly envious of her life out there, honestly. She would post these pictures and I would just be sitting in my office, you know, reviewing my Excel spreadsheets, and she's out there catching like a 15-inch trout. I was like, this isn't fair. So she moved back and COVID started and everything went remote, right? Like no one was going into the office. Philly, for all intents and purposes, like everything was really closed down. There wasn't a ton to do. So we would just, you know, sit around the house, kind of twiddle our thumbs, just be like, what are we doing? We were just working all the time, not really going anywhere. I mean, I'm sure many people felt like this, right? It just got kind of mundane. So September of 2020, we just decided, you know, let's just go on the road. Let's just pack up the car. We'll throw a bunch of stuff in here. We'll just explore a little bit, you know, we'll go for about a month and a half, 2 months. We'll see what happens. She, right before we left, she's like, you should consider buying a fly rod. And I kind of looked at her just like, well, you know, Laura, why would I give up a class that I'm getting an A in when I could try out this class and get a D? Like that doesn't make sense. Like I spin fish. I'm good at spin fishing. Like I know what I'm doing. I've seen you fly fish. Like it looks really intense, really difficult. Like I'm not sure. And then within about 10 minutes, I was on Amazon and I purchased my first kit. I don't even remember the brand. It was probably some brand that no one's ever heard of. And it was about $100 for just this basic 5-weight reel and rod. And it came with a little fly kit. And I don't know how familiar you are with flies, but you know, the whole purpose is to mimic the bugs that are in the area and like trick the fish that way. Well, these flies were gigantic. They were, I'm assuming, supposed to mimic like a moth with spotted wings of some sort and like a big red body. So I had never seen a fly like that or any sort of insect like that. And like looking back now, I'm like, oh, this would never catch anything. This is not a fly. But does it still fit in my fly box? Of course. That I will carry that fly till the end of time. But it was not a great kit. But I don't know. I dove in. I was like, whatever, you know, I'll try anything twice, right? We'll give this a whirl, see how it goes. So we packed up the car and we drove out to Colorado. We went out to Meeker, which was this tiny little town in the middle of nowhere in western Colorado. We fished the White River with this lovely guide. And it was the first time that I held a rod in my hand, ever tried to cast. Like I had no idea what I was doing. I spent most of the morning, like my friend was fishing on the river and I was just fishing on like this retention pond because I could not get the logistics of this cast. It just felt wild to me. But the guy was super patient. He's like, oh, it's fine. You'll get this. And like, I just kept going. I tried not to get frustrated. I was nervous to ask questions because, like, oh, you know, I've spin fish for a really long time. I should probably know what I'm doing. And eventually we got on the river. I caught my first trout in my, like, second or third cast. And it was, we were sight fishing because it was really nice out. And it was this tiny little creek on this guy's property. And I just threw the line in. The dry hopper just sat right on top of the water, and this beautiful trout just, like, came right up from the bottom and just engulfed this fly, just demolished it on the surface. And that was it. Like, no pun intended, but I was absolutely hooked. It was so exciting to watch that fish take that fly. Like, that was it. And I leaned in. I got all the gear after that. I bought waders. We went to Montana shortly after. I got an entire new kit because I was a little bit embarrassed about my tiny Amazon kit. So we upgraded a tad, and we spent, like, the next month and a half just, like, driving around Utah, Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, and just fishing as much as we could. And it was incredible. It was just, you know, I was in all of these places that, like, truly I never thought I would imagine myself. I was meeting a bunch of people that were just so happy to talk about something that they were just, like, you would just see people's faces light up when they talked about, like, this fish they had caught, or, you know, this place they went, or just, like, to show pictures of their experiences. And I was just enamored by all of it. So, you know, we spent the next year-ish just doing a lot of the same. We would take, like, a month or two of these trips where we would just do, like, a big loop around the country, just hit a bunch of states. And I think subconsciously I was probably kind of, like, casing the U.S. to just be like, where do I want to move next? Because this life, like, this isn't present for me in Philly. I need this in my daily routine. And it wasn't until September 2021, we were, my buddy and I were back out on another trip. We were at this brewery in the middle of Bozeman, Shiner Beer Sanctuary. Like, I still remember sitting at the bar there, and we had had enough beers to convince ourselves that making an Instagram account was what we should be doing. So we created Ladies and Ladies, and we were like, this is fantastic. We're going to post all of our fish pictures. And, like, our shtick very early was, like, we were 2020. Like, I was obsessed with Snapchat at the time. And that mustache filter that we still use to this day, like this is perfect. It's going to showcase all of our hilarious mustache pictures, all of our fish pictures. This is what the people need. And, you know, low key, I think my friends were probably happy that we had created a separate account to post all of our fish pictures, so we weren't, like, inundating all of our other friends' feeds with thousands of fish pictures. So we started the account. We're like, it just started as, like, a kind of like a, it was like a fun little account to just post silly things and not disrupt people's normal feeds. And the more I thought about it, you know, we spent a lot of time in Washington State that summer, and I, you know, between Rainier and just the access to the outdoors and the great waters that this state has, and, like, the salmon fishing that I wasn't accustomed to on the East Coast, you know, we left Washington and we were back out in Utah, and we were sitting in this little tent, and I had this recruiter reach out to me about a role in Seattle, like, very similar to my role in Philly in consulting. And, you know, I had never really thought about actually leaving my job and moving, but I don't know if it was, like, the fact that I was in a tent in the middle of nowhere or that I had just spent the entire day fishing, but I was like, yeah, you know, we'll entertain this call. And I wound up talking to this lady for about 30 minutes about this job in Seattle. And within, like, a week, I decided to quit my job in Philly. I gave my notice there. I started looking for apartments in Seattle. And within a month, I had moved my entire life across the country for a city that I'd never spent more than 2 weeks in, and a job that I didn't know if I would be interested in. But, like, it felt like a means to an end to get myself to where, you know, like, I truly felt like I should be.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop there because I feel like I just monologued.
No, that was all great. And you're painting a great story as you were kind of explaining everything. So it sounds like really, you kind of, after school sort of had that disconnect from the outdoors, just from everything going on, kind of city life, accounting and everything like that. And, you know, the opportunity, I kind of hate using that word around the whole, 2020, but that opportunity for remote work and everything like that came up that kind of adventurous spirit that you obviously had kind of had that chance to kind of jump out again and be like, you know what, let's do this. I can work on the road. I can do whatever. The city shut down and then kind of explored from there, and obviously, as you mentioned, kind of got hooked with it, and sounds like definitely some beautiful places that you would adventured and got to see and fish and everything. So, you know, and then of course kind of the chance that somebody calls you and offers you a job, as you said, in a place that you've never been for more than 2 weeks and everything like that, and you know, at that point you're just like, yeah, why not, let's do it. So when you made that actual official move, did your friend go out there or go out with you, or is that from the one that, or were they from that area anyways?
No, so my friend did not move out with me. I moved to Seattle not knowing a single person. So I left all of my friends and family that I had spent like the past 30 years of my life with every single day to a city that I knew absolutely no one and had this terrible reputation for, like I'm not sure if you're aware of the term Seattle freeze, but it's this cloud that hangs over the city where they're like, Seattle people and Washington people do not like out-of-state people. They don't talk to out-of-state people. It's tough to meet friends. So I kind of had that hanging over me, but I was like, I'm a pretty friendly person. I haven't struggled to meet folks in the past. Like, I'll be fine. And I don't know if, again, it was just the timing where, a lot of folks had left the city. A lot of folks had moved back, or during that COVID time period where, a lot of people became transplants and were doing similar things to me, right? Moving to different cities and exploring. So it was maybe like a little bit, or folks here were a little bit more amenable to meeting new people. But I got out here, I immediately downloaded Bumble BFF, and I was like, I am going to meet friends. And I made it very clear on there. I was like, I love to fly fish. I want to keep fly fishing. Please, people, will you fly fish with me? And I got incredibly lucky. I, right out the gate, I met five or six folks that are, still some of my very good friends to this day. Unfortunately, ironically, only one of them actually fishes. So, we didn't do well in that sense. But I had a really good time meeting people and talking to folks. And honestly, I feel like not knowing anyone here kind of forced me to go out of my comfort zone a little bit. So, if the Seattle Orvis was having an event, like I would just show up. If some of the local fly shops were holding events, I would just go to the fly shops, try to meet people. I use ladies and waities to, if someone looked fun on Instagram and like we're from Seattle and we're clearly out there fishing, send them a message, just be like, hey, new to the area, like, do you want to fish? Or like, you want to grab a beer and talk about fish, and just kind of tried to build my network that way. And, slowly it started to expand. And what I noticed, when I would meet people is that when I would mention fly fishing, a lot of them would, say something along the lines of like, oh, I was in a relationship previously and I used to fish a lot with my partner, but then the relationship ended and, I'd never really got back into fishing, or I didn't have someone to fish with, or I fished as a kid and it kind of fell by the wayside and I haven't been able to pick it back up, or just folks that want to learn but just didn't necessarily know how to. And that's kind of when I had a little bit of a reckoning moment with Ladies and Waities, where, I kind of thought to myself, like, oh, maybe we can pivot this account from just being, something that's like a fun, goofy Instagram account where we're posting pictures, but like doesn't really have a whole lot of substance beyond that. Maybe we can make this into more of a beneficial tool for folks out here, like folks anywhere that are, you know, looking to get outside or looking to meet other or folks that want to get outside or just need some sort of community. And, you know, it wasn't until I was out here for about 6 months where I was like, I think, you know, I spoke to my buddy. I was like, I think we can do something with this account. And unfortunately, you know, her being in Philadelphia and me being in Washington, it wasn't easy. And I think the access is a lot better out here than on the East Coast to try to do a lot of the things that we wanted to. So we pivoted to like a Seattle-based account, and it has just continued snowballing and growing, honestly, a lot more than I would have expected it to from the start. You know, it's always surprising to me to put a post out there, to put a story out there, and just the way folks respond, and just, you know, knowing that there's other people out there that are as passionate about fishing or as passionate about sharing their passions with folks. It's been enlightening, to say the least.
Yeah. That's, and it's, you know, interesting because, you know, it always seems like the things that weren't started off to be like what is this kind of turned into always seem to get that momentum rolling, right? And you know, as you mentioned, you know, you started it kind of as, oh, here's some silly pictures of the things I love type of deal, and then it ended up being a tool for you to reaching out to others that were in the area to meet friends essentially that way and kind of build a community. But as you mentioned, you know, it kind of wasn't, you know, I'm sure building a community, quote unquote, wasn't really the idea when you're reaching out to those people at first, but then it slowly kind of snowballed into that idea of finding others that were kind of, you know, passionate about the same thing. So it's cool to kind of hear that organic community growth kind of build, even though that wasn't your intentions that one day at the brewery when you decided to open up that account. So that's really awesome. Awesome to hear that. So as you've, you know, kind of as it's kind of changed, I guess, and you know, that community focus, kind of what does that, and you mentioned kind of the substance and everything like that kind of changing in that direction and focus, what does that kind of look like as far as like the outreach and getting people in? And then once you kind of have built that community, kind of what does that community entail for others, if that makes sense?
So I think for Ladies and Waities, like where our big appeal is, or what has always been the most important purpose of that account for me, it's just being able to show the goofy side of fishing. You know, I think when I got started, I was very lucky that, you know, my best friend taught me, and I had a comfortable environment to learn, a comfortable environment to mess up and ask questions and be uncomfortable. Because for me, I've always struggled with learning a new hobby or learning, you know, a new activity and immediately feeling like I have to be the best at it. And I cannot mess up and I cannot ask questions. And everyone must immediately think that I just picked up this rod and caught this gigantic salmon on it. Like that was my mindset for a very long time. And fly fishing was 1000% humbling. And I think what was so important for me when I learned was just having that safe space. So above all, for Ladies and Waities in that account, what I want to make sure people understand is that it's okay to be goofy. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to not catch fish. Like, no one expects to get out on a river and catch 50 fish in a day. And if you are, you're fooling yourself. No one actually does that. And I want to create an environment where, you know, folks feel, you know, comfortable asking questions, or you're like asking about where to go fishing, or saying that they're new and they're looking for, you know, recommendations for gear, or what should I be doing differently, or, you know, just having that community of other folks to reach out to. So I think just maintaining that environment on the account, and then, you know, for 2024, again, the account and our pivot to more of a community-based, event-based organization is still very nascent. So a lot of the times, you know, it's me and maybe three or four of my closest friends in a little war room just brainstorming some ideas and how we can get more people involved and how we could have a greater reach. So We're putting together a pipeline for 2024 of a lot of events, probably local to Seattle and Washington State, to just have meetups for ladies on and off the water, you know, just an environment for folks to come talk about fishing, come ask questions, come meet other people in the area that you want to fish with, learn the different spots, learn the techniques, and feel comfortable doing so. Like, that is the most important thing for us. And in addition, you know, I think another one of the areas that I've always found to be the most meaningful is just the various organizations too, even in the fly fishing or angling in general community, that I've had the opportunity to work for, that, you know, have a much bigger reach than I do and have a much larger network. So I've worked a lot with United Women on the Fly, I Fish, I Belong, All Kids Fish, or Surf Rider, just these great organizations that are, you know, also trying to build their own communities and educate folks about conservation or safe fishing practices, or just help other people feel comfortable getting out there and asking questions and getting involved in an activity or, you know, an arena that's not necessarily the most comfortable for everyone.
Yeah. And, you know, I love the idea of, you know, kind of creating that safe space and providing kind of the, you know, workshops or actual kind of trips themselves, you know, to an extent through the meetups and stuff, to really kind of extend and build upon the community that's kind of already that foundation there. So one question I have is, you know, you kind of bring up, you know, people that are, you know, curious about, you know, fishing or want to get back into it or whatever that might be, and creating that safe space. And obviously, you know, as the name implies, you know, kind of focusing on ladies there. I guess within that space, and this is something I don't really know, is there a large kind of female presence in kind of that space as it is, or is this kind of like a way to, like you said, hey, it doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, or anything like that. You can come out here and do it, and we'll do it together. You don't have to, you know, take that, I guess, intimidation part out of it or whatnot. Have you kind of noticed a draw to it because of that, kind of just, you know, who you're kind of focusing on in that sense?
I mean, I think part of it is we couldn't find a way to rhyme a more inclusive word with weighties. So, you know, ladies fell in their natural, which I think kind of lends itself to painting this as a female centric account, but we couldn't find a word that rhymed. But it's all about inclusion. Like, I think that's in our profile too. Like, it is, it's just whoever wants to get out on the water, whoever wants to get back out there and learn or feel comfortable doing so. Like, it's, we don't turn anyone away. We're just trying to get out there and fish and talk about fishing and talk, or, you know, show our fish pictures.
Yeah. And one, I do love the name, by the way. And so that's good. And it's also good to know that if I'm ever out in Seattle, I can enjoy some fishing and 9 a.m. beers with you as well. So I'm stoked on that. But no, it's still cool to, yeah, you know,
absolutely.
Like, it's cool. Sorry, to kind ahead. Of, it's cool to see kind of how that, you know, building that community around there, and kind of, like you said, kind of letting people kind of put down their blinders or their protection or whatnot to understand, hey, you know, we're all learning here. We can be goofy. We can have a good time, and to build that in that sense. And then the future plans as well, as far as the meetups go, do you ever see like a space where it kind of maybe evolves into, I guess, more or less like chapters, I guess, you know, outside of the Seattle area?
Oh gosh, that's probably in the 5-year plan at this point, but absolutely. I'm still working on building that network across the country, but I mean, the more I travel to fish, and like the more, you know, we spend time out of state, like that reach just grows and grows and grows. And it's honestly, you know, we were down in Georgia not too long ago, helping out with Becca Sue Klein's All Kids Fish event. And even there, you know, folks that I had never met before were referencing Ladies and Weighties and our account and what we're doing and how much they appreciate it. And, you know, it never really hits with me how much of an impact this account could have or how much of a reach it could have if we just, you know, if we lean in and we focus on it and, you know, spend a lot of time here. Like you don't really appreciate it all the time, just how wide of a reach you could have. So, you know, hearing folks out in Georgia be like, we know about you guys. This has been, you know, we've enjoyed the journey, and just continuing to meet and travel people like that. I'm like, oh, maybe we are, you know, we open a little Georgia chapter in the future. Like maybe we have a Colorado chapter. I'm not sure, honestly. I think that's the goal always.
Yeah.
It's just probably a longer tail.
Yeah. Well, no, that's so awesome though. And especially since kind of that, you know, you're getting recognition in that sense, across the states and people that are stoked on what you're up to and everything as well. But before we kind of wrap this up, is there anything that I missed, I guess, as far as, you know, what you have going on or something I might have overlooked that, you know, should also be shared?
I think we covered most of, you know, what I wanted to cover. I would just, you know, I would tell folks listening that if you're on the fence, if this is something that you want to pursue, if fly fishing has always interested you, or if it's something you're curious about, just dive in, just be uncomfortable, you know, start following your local fly shops or some of the more, national organizations like, you know, United Women on the Fly or I Fish, I Belong, and just get involved, you know, go to an event, get out of your comfort zone. If someone looks fun on Instagram and they're fishing out there, ask them if they want to fish, ask them to grab a beer, just be uncomfortable, ask questions, make mistakes. You know, I think a lot of the time that fear of the unknown stops people from going after what they want or stops people from pursuing activities or hobbies or passions. And I would just hate to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that kind of goes into, you know, the question I usually ask is one piece of advice. So that was a great piece, but I do have another question as well, that our listeners can take away. And I'm kind of going to switch, gears from, you know, maybe like an organization or a group or, you know, whatever you want to call it, perspective. You know, you mentioned kind of the emphasis of everything, you know, creating that safe space, showing you me goofy and uncomfortable and it's all okay. If you're somebody that's trying to create some kind of group, whether it's hiking or fly fishing or mountain biking or whatever that might be, what would you suggest those people to make that environment kind of feel that way, such as you have for the people that are interested in joining in and being a part of it and participating in the activities and whatnot?
Feedback that we've always received with Ladies and Waities and what I've been told draws folks to our account is just being too, like when I say two, I say me and my friend Chelsea that I run most of the account with, just showing your goofy side, showing your personal side, showing that, you know, like we're not just fishing all of the time. Like we're a full range of human and, we are not formal. We're not serious. We're super friendly. We're goofy. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to drink a bunch of beers while we fish. Like it's going to be messy, but it feels more personal and more, you know, relatable than a lot of these other kind of scripted influencer accounts, right? The ones with, you know, maybe they're captions that feel super formal and fancy, and I think what works better is just a personal touch on everything. And just, you know, you want to be able to feel like someone that people can talk to or have a conversation with and not have to prepare for like an hour and a half ahead of time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that kind of organic, truthful, transparent, you know, kind of approach in that sense. And then to that point, where can people find you online, to follow you, see what you're up to, of course, see what, the future holds and get involved?
Sure. We are on Instagram at Ladies and Waities. We will shortly have a Facebook group up and running as well, and a website up and running in 2024. So follow us to stay tuned for those. And in the meantime, I work a lot with United Women on the Fly and I Fish, I Belong, as I've mentioned, and I would encourage folks to also follow those two organizations. Very similar mantras there, right? Inclusion, getting people out in the water safely and effectively and educated, and just creating, you know, a safe space for anglers to come together. And they'll also have a ton of great events in 2024 and opportunities to come together as a community. So absolutely follow those accounts for more information there and for dates and, you know, meetings that everyone can join are available to everyone.
Awesome. Well, everybody, definitely make sure you check them out, see what they're up to, see how you can get involved, and see what's new on the horizon once everything gets launched like that. But I appreciate you coming on to share your story and sharing the story of ladies and waiters in the community you're building around that. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeremy. It's great talking to you.
Thanks for listening. And hey, if you made it this far and like what you've heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and let your friends know about Life in Motion. Until next time.